show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of the sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycon, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Actually do some radio for a change, what do you say? Sorry about last night. Wasn't planned. Wasn't hooky. Wasn't even fun. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's listener-supported liberal voice, found at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Listen Live at the link at whiterosesociety.org, via Stitcher, via Tuner Radio. Oh, golly Moses, we are all over the place. If you're listening on something else, or we're at iTunes Radio, we're podcasting at iTunes, you can get the podcast at White Rose Society. If you're listening some other way, I'd love to know it, because we like to know every means by which the Horn family comes together for our little evening conversations. Really. I am sorry about last night. I was sitting here all ready to go and had everything fired up, and you know how all that goes, right? But then we couldn't connect to the servers, and the Horn website was down, the White Rose was down, and so that kind of, that was a clue. And our good friend, our dear friend, Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org immediately recognized those clues, and we found out that our servers, our hosting company, was all the way down to the ground. And it's kind of it's a reminder of just how fragile this system is, these interweb tubes. Because, as it turns out, in an email that came from Ben, sort of explaining exactly what had happened, well, the way it shook out was this. They explained that a failure in a core router at our data center caused an outage for a number of our customers. The backup router for that core router was temporarily overloaded. As a result, all the traffic on the failed router has now been transferred to a new core router. The problem was identified and corrected as quickly as possible and should not have impacted your service for more than 3 hours. And that's about how long it did. We got back, we were able to start sending the regular 24/7 rerun stream about 3 hours, 4 hours after, after showtime. So there was no show. Although I was reminded by Lottie in the chat room, one of our chat room moderators, our head mod, that in instances such as that, I can always, I should have been thinking, I can always just fire up the Ustream and direct everybody there. So maybe next time that's what we'll do. I was just so busy eating my own liver at the time, and no onions, that I didn't have the presence of mind to think about that, so my apologies there. But that's why we weren't here last night. But we're here tonight, and tonight is Friday on the front porch. It's brisk. Most of the snow here has melted away. We've had a sunny day since, and I guess it's going to be sunny and dry for a lot of us over the weekend, so well, not make hay while the sun shines, but make something, for God's sake. Enjoy what, and I guess no white Christmas is in order for many of us either. But enjoy the weekend as it comes forward. But Friday on the front porch, it's a time to come up, kick, knock the clods off the boots, and prop your feet up on the rail, and well, sit and relax. And as John Fox says in the intro, cuss and discuss. And that, by Jove, is what I have in mind for us to do this evening. I hope you do as well. Because conversations don't work very well when I'm the only one conversing. No, sadly, Marty, I was fresh out of fava beans and a nice Chianti to go with the liver, my own liver that I was eating last night. Can you still hear the lambs, Clarice? That's what I hope for this evening. A quick reminder, we operate here on kind contributions from listeners, and we're looking, you know, every month we look for 250 folks to kick in 10 bucks a piece. It works out to about less than 5 cents an hour for the programming once you figure out everything that goes into it, or at least that's what the math said the last time I did it, and my math is, of course, always suspect, but there it is. PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, as is the snail mail address. And by the way, I had a request in from Boss Man Wayne last night. If you prefer to go with snail mail and you prefer to write checks, please make checks payable to Head On Communications or Head On Radio Network, something like that. Not Bob Kincaid, because that makes it hard for him to be able to deposit them to the Horn account. He just mentioned it to me in passing last night and asked me to pass that on along to y'all, simply because I'm not always with him. And as I've explained before, Boss Man Wayne takes care of what comes in at the mailbox. And he takes care, because he writes most of the checks for the bills. So just please make a note of it, like the little recording says on the telephone. Now, where do we begin tonight? Friday on the front porch is technically and usually we try to have some more lighthearted stuff. I don't know that it will be lighthearted all night long, but we hope. By the way, if you've never been to the Head On Radio Network chat room, I encourage you to give it a try. It's free, it's easy, and there's great folks in there having wonderful conversation all during the course of the program. We're still sideways on why the normal entry to the chat room doesn't work, but if you just go to headonradionetwork.com/chatroom, you'll see the backdoor link, and you can sign in, sign up, register, what have you, very easily. And I encourage you to do so, because it's just a heck of a lot of fun. For reaching the program, you know that all you need to do is dial the phone line, or you can email. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com, and that's pretty easy, and I try to read a great deal of what comes in during the show, and I respond to queries when responses are called for, even after hours. This is something I kind of do full-time, and by full-time I mean just about every hour of every day. Lord of mercy, I mean, we answer phone calls here at 3 o'clock in the morning from folks who think we're live. Because you kind of got it, right? Yeah. But we do badly need your help right now. With the front end of December, we are miles behind, and we fall behind every month. And it's I know how tight and hard things are out there. But every night we look for maybe 10 folks to kick into the Thrifty 250, because that's about what it takes to keep up, on an average over the course of a month. 10 folks, 10 bucks a piece. If we got 20, that would be great. If we got all 250, that would be even better, because then I'd just, after the show was over, I would engage in a flurry of paying the bills that I can pay from here and making sure Boss Man Wayne can pay the ones that he pays. Some stuff you can do online, some stuff you can't. But that's where it is. So if you want to help out, headonradionetwork.com/contribute. Okay? And I'll try to make that the last I say tonight, unless there's this flurry of, and then I'll mention it to you because it'll be really, really cool. Where to begin tonight? It's kind of difficult because I had stuff that I wanted for us to be able to discuss last night and see above. So I don't know whether to go with current stuff or stuff that's a couple of days old. start out with the funny stuff, get to the, well, I don't know. I don't know. I do want to get this out of the way because it is so heavy. And that is the shooting at Virginia Tech. I saw that unfolding yesterday in the course of the afternoon during show prep. Watched the saw the hashtag happen, went over to where the hashtag was happening, and stuff on Twitter was just flying so fast you couldn't read it. And I don't know, maybe there's no need for me to say this. But every time one of these happens, I feel compelled to simply remark and remind us all, as we sit in slack-jawed horror at, once again, human beings being put out of this world as a result of gun violence, that all the shock and surprise and horror is not going to make it stop. If nothing else, we are a big bunch of realists here. And we simply have to realize that because the National Rifle Association exists, and that because the National Rifle Association exists almost exclusively in order to advance Republican policies in this country, especially policies with regard to goons, this is always going to happen. Now, there's nobody in their right or rational mind who can argue that the Second Amendment was designed for anything other than the maintenance of a militia. Bob, the Supreme Court ruled. Remember, I said people in their right or rational mind. That excludes, among millions of others, Slappy Thomas, Fat Tony Scalia, Sammy Alito, and John Deadeyes Roberts. Because they're not rational. They merely do the bidding of the right wing. There's nothing impartial about a blessed thing that they do. But anyway, so I simply want to point out with the Virginia Tech shooting yesterday, for whatever reasons that it happened, the irony being that it happened at a time when Virginia Tech officials were in a hearing over the inadequacy of their response back during the Virginia Tech massacre some years ago, which was wholly inadequate. There's a certain irony in that. But every time one of these nightmares takes place, every time one of these nightmares leaves the realm of nightmares and comes into the land of flesh and blood, we react with shock and we react with horror, with disgust. A lot of people immediately say things about the shooter. Well, he was crazy. Nobody in their right mind would do that. Thereby sort of creating a psychic landscape in which we can be sure that it will happen again. And I guess the only thing that I would say coming out of that horror yesterday, in which a father of five was a campus police officer was gunned down for reasons that are not yet apparent, or at least I wasn't able to find out. There are five fatherless children tonight, because by however it is that the universe works, it was time for us to make another installment payment on our butcher's bill that we gladly embrace so that sexually frustrated, paranoid, weirded out right-wingers can carry firearms to teabagging meetings and carry signs that says, Scott Brown, if Scott Brown can't stop Obamacare, Browning can. I hate to say it, but there's an element of, forget about it, Jake, it's Chinatown to all of this. It's just who we are. Every now and then, we have to pay the butcher's bill in this macabre dance of death that we somehow insist upon defining as evidence of our freedom. You know, in all those years, I sat in all those little classrooms, little old Bob who had no idea what the future held for him. Sitting there learning all of that stuff that the teachers were imparting about how good we here in the United States are. And learning things about our freedoms, like how we've got freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And freedom to keep and arm bears. I never realized that because of that freedom to keep and arm bears, what we really have is the freedom to grieve, the freedom to weep. The freedom to collapse to our knees and to cry at the top of our lungs, "Oh God, no, 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 no." The freedom to be shaken to the very core of our being. Because in Fairfax, Virginia, there's a mirrored glass cube of a building filled with scurrying little rats whose only job in the world is to make sure that it keeps happening. It is almost as though the National Rifle Association and Americans in Favor of Guns and Gun Owners of America and all of those filthy, filthy people, it's almost as though they feed on our grief. They feed on our horror. They feed, they feast upon the tears of those left behind by the people blown away into their constituent parts by gun violence. I know this isn't going to play well with some listeners. I myself am an owner of firearms. I don't say this as some sort of a purist. They'd run me out of the state of West Virginia if I didn't own guns. But I learned a little something yesterday in the course of watching my Twitter feed, because I simply tweeted, "Don't panic. This is just another installment payment on our butcher's bill." And I began receiving tweets back saying, that people who, peaceful people leave guns at home. If you take away guns, we are no longer peaceful, but oppressed. I responded. You can go and look at my Twitter stream. And I asked, does that mean that people who want nothing to do with guns are also oppressed, even though they don't know it? And the response was, people who want nothing to do with guns would be oppressed if their right to have arms was taken away. And I'm sorry, I couldn't more profoundly disagree with that. There is this fantasy, this myth that exists in this country that makes, and it's a fantasy and a myth because it cannot stand up to any sort of rational scrutiny, that if a guy has a 45 caliber Glock and a 12 gauge shotgun, that somehow he's preserving his freedom. Yeah, there are ancillary arguments like, well, I have mine for home invasion. Because I guess everything's a war zone here. Never mentioned are the statistics that deal with people who have firearms and wind up having them used against them. Go figure. Or the number of suicides committed by firearm owners. No, the NRA and People for the American Gun, the American Association of Firearm-Loving American Patriots, or whatever the hell they call themselves, they don't talk about those ugly little realities. And then came this remark, best hope this country doesn't go the way of others. What way? I haven't seen anyone goose-stepping through the streets of Germany or France or Sweden or Norway or England or... No! It's a myth. Do you see? It is a facade. And there is ultimately a question of real depth that has to be asked. It doesn't have to be asked of me. It doesn't probably have to be asked of you. But again, it's one of those questions that will never be asked and will never have a straight answer to, because God knows nobody in the for-profit 1% media would dare ask it. And that question is this. You take one of your Second Amendment right to keep an arm bears God guns in America, made God guns in America great types. And you say, Buster, I want to ask you a question. All right, God bless America. All right, Eustace, listen up. I'll talk real slow-like and use little bitty words. You being a Second Amendment patriot and everything, mine's all taken up with protecting your freedom with your firearms and such like. Eustace, if you and Cletus could guarantee that by giving up your firearms, some total stranger you don't know would not be left laying in a pool of blood at some indeterminate, oops, that's a big word, at some time in the future. If just you and Cletus given up your guns and you could have a written guarantee, this is a need another word for hypothetical for the Second Amendment people out there. It's too big a word. Made up. This is a made up fact pattern. I'm getting on shaky ground with pattern, I know, but let's say God, Jesus, let's say Jesus came down to you and said, Eustace, Cletus, if you'll get rid of your guns, Arlie won't be dead next week in a pool of blood. If you continue to keep your guns, Arlie's gonna die. And it's not like you're gonna kill him or anything. But it's just the connection. Are you still with me there, Eustace? You still with me there, Cletus? I mean, you like Arlie and everything, right? He's a neighbor. He's one of your buddies. Well, you've got a choice. You can keep your guns, and Arlie winds up in a pool of blood, and his children are fatherless, and his wife is without any form of support forever after and has to go on the welfare. Or you can put down your guns and walk away, Eustace, Cletus, and they get to live. Which is it? Eustace, what'll it be, Cletus? But that question will never be asked. And even if it was Jesus Christ himself asking that question, they would never give you a straight answer. Well, that ain't fair! Where did it say life is fair, boys? Because you see, of all the people out there, the ones who know deepest down in their hearts that their weird, fetishized, sexualized fascination with these engines of death, in particular handguns, the ones who know that their weird, sexualized, fantasized, fetishized fascination with handguns is a direct connection to all the bloodshed that happens, those guys. And see, this is where you have to drill down kind of deep into the morality of handgun ownership. Because you know what? They don't care. They are more than happy to suck up those tears and to lap up that blood. Because that means that they get to go on being free. Because, again, freedom is some sort of thing that they've put up there alongside the other stuff that exists in their imaginary world. Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Risen Christ, you know. And that's why it's going to continue to happen. We're going to continue to have grieving widows, devastated mamas and daddies, simply because the sexualized, fetishized, fantasized business of owning handguns has a more profound effect on the minds of millions of Americans than does the idea of letting their neighbor live. It's that easy. That's all there is. That's all there is to it. Now, I know for sure that by now some little right-wing nut who hovers, some Republic and family values voter who wants to protect life and worries all the time about them little fetuses is just a hopping up and down and scratching himself all over like he's got the hives because of what I've just said. And what bothers him most in whatever those thin gray settlings are that slosh between his ears and in other normal, fully developed individuals are referred to as brains, is that I am right. I just am. Will I condemn someone for owning firearms? No. I'm just merely noting the reality. It's just the reality. I'm a part of the problem. Lots of people are part of the problem. We've got firearms here. A handgun in particular. We've got a shotgun. Bless her soul, Judy Bonds, to the day she died, had a firearm by her side because of the overt violence of which the coal thugs are capable. It ain't wise not to have one. I've heard Malloy talk about how he hates guns, but he has one because of what the thugs of the right wing are capable of. Somebody came to me and said, so-and-so's going to live if you'll just turn him in. I wouldn't have a moment's qualm over, you know what? You mean that simple act can alter the future? Yep. Here. But because the right wing and the gun fanciers have fetishized their gun ownership along the lines of really religious orthodoxy. They can't do that. They can't come to that conclusion. Because they've got their firearm ownership all wrapped up in tri-cornered hats and men, little boys marching with beating on a drum and playing a fife and carrying a ragged old flag. And then that's why they show up at teabagging rallies dressed like that. It is a deal with the devil that we make. Jay and Yuma writing in, Bob, it is true that having a gun in the home greatly increases the chance that someone in that home will be shot to death. So when I get into these discussions, the first thing I tell those people is go ahead and keep your guns. Go ahead and kill your wife or children. It'll improve the overall gene pool. I find that this tends to end the conversation. Yeah. Because the statistics are very real. But the business with that fife and drum corps and the bandage on the head and the little boy with his drum and the ragged old flag, that BS drives me crazy. Because there is not a... Well, oh, no, there are. There's lots of them. And generally, we eventually find out about them when they decide it's time to step up and to strike a blow for democracy. Like that crowd up in Michigan. Or that crowd in Idaho. Or that crowd in Texas. Or that crowd in Alabama. You get the idea, right? But there's nobody out there with the firepower in an ordinary American home to hold off 21st century authoritarian state stormtroopers. Hell, they'll burn your home down and shoot you while you're running out the door. This is not the Alex Jones show, by the way. But in a world where the government has supersonic fighter aircraft, helicopters, tanks, armored personnel carriers, paratroopers, machine gunners, grenade throwers, you and your 30-06 ain't standing for freedom. Every home is not the goddamned Alamo. Do you understand? Sorry, I think I'm screaming at the wingnut. I think of a call many years back when our good friend Michael called in and said, you know, Bob, I don't understand the culture that thinks it's important to own a gun. I don't own a gun. I don't want to own a gun. I don't ever want to own a gun. I don't want to go hunting. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to shoot clay pigeons, which is fun, by the way. And I tried to sort of explain that rural mindset. You know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, a firearm was more necessary than a plow. Because if the crops didn't come in, you could still wander the woods and bring in squirrels and bunnies and Bambi and keep food on your family. That was then. This is now. Ted Nugent out there running around, I don't eat anything that I don't kill. Well, good for you, Ted. Good for you. But this country can't operate that way. There are 330 million Americans, and there are not enough deers and rabbits and turkeys and bunnies and bugs in the woods to feed a country of that size. All of this stuff that ultimately winds up in a Virginia Tech police officer laying face down in a pool of his own blood is founded on fantasies, myths, and lies. Outright lies. Wonder how many listeners I'll lose out of that. But it's fact. You know, anybody... I have... I have a healthy respect for firearms because that, and it's good to learn about them because that way you can never be accidentally hurt by one. But I hear people say, yeah, I got this here Glock 9mm in case somebody comes through my door. And the first thing I think of is, I have no respect for you because that means you understand nothing about firearms and houses and drywall. You know, that 9mm pistol you're going to use to protect your family? That damn thing's got, the bullet comes out of that thing with a muzzle velocity approaching a mile a second. Or at least a half a mile a second. There ain't much that ain't going through. So you miss and it goes into the baby's room and, well, you know, bye-bye baby. But you hit it for home defense. Oh, by God, I'm good with my firearm. I practice every Sunday down to the range. Really? Do you practice with somebody coming at you full on? Because that's the reason cops are trained as rigorously as they are. Those reflexes aren't just there. Just saying. I mean, everything I've ever read said if you're going to keep a firearm for home defense, you keep a 410 shotgun. Easy to handle. It'll stop anything needs stopping. And the pellets generally won't go through the wall board into baby's room. But try to explain that to somebody who's in love with his 9mm high-capacity Glock with the banana clip. Good luck. So, okay, we've got that out of the way. We understand that things like the shooting at Virginia Tech yesterday, in which the news story says, on Thursday night, about 150 students gathered silently for a candlelight vigil on a field facing the Stone Plaza Memorial for the victims of the 2007 massacre. Though the official vigil was moved to Friday evening, many turned out anyway to show their support. One student came forward to invite everyone back a day later. He shouted, "Let's go," and the crowd responded, "Hokies." So let's just understand that we're going to keep on having candlelight vigils. Can we do that? Because ain't nobody got the guts to take on the National Republican Rifle Association. Because they even preach this crap in the pulpits. Just saying. But I really did think that we were kind of entitled to a giggle this evening. And I got a big one last night from... Wow, Bob, that was a cold transition. I really did think I got a good one. Over at Mother Jones, you might recall we discussed the Radio Rwanda... Eric Bolling flip out over the new Muppet movie. Well, apparently that spawned a hashtag. You know, that's those little things that begin with the pound sign, like on your telephone, on the Twitter. The hashtag was GOP Muppet Hearings. And while I was sitting here last night not doing a show, I giggled wildly. Apparently, whoever got this started... did so as Mother Jones' article notes, sort of merging and melding Fox Business, Fox News, McCarthyism, and Representative Peter King's radicalization hearings with that hashtag GOP Muppet Hearings. Here's a few of the better ones. I like to imagine, Representative High Pockets Sleazewitz examining the witnesses in the hearing. Meep, meep, meep is not speech, Mr. Beaker. Money is speech. Now, Mr. the Grouch, do you have a permit to occupy Sesame Street? Mr. the Chef, you submitted testimony, but it just says bork, bork, bork. For 7 pages. I can't understand it, sir. And you! You! Mr. the Frog! Tell us a little more about this whole rainbow connection. Are you trying to advance the gay agenda, Mr. the Frog? Mr. Animal, would you say Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Please stop breathing so hard. No, Mr. Count, you may not plead the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Amendments. Ha 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 ha. No, you may not. This is some of the fun stuff that actually happens on Twitter from time to time. I got a giggle. And by the way, now, speaking of the rainbow connection, you know how the weirdos, the repressed, tamped down, hung up, strange people of the religious, the right-wing religion industrial complex, you know how they're constantly, well, going on about the homosexuals? Yeah. Well, for anyone out there who thinks that maybe of all those crazy Republicans out there, at least Ron Paul's normal, drives me crazy when I hear people who sound otherwise liberal or progressive say, well, you know, he's got some good ideas. The guy's crazier than a spray roach. And it turns out, ha-ha, that out there in Iowa, Ron Paul has him a new outreach coordinator. Remembering, of course, that right-wingers blame the homosexuals for the decline of morals in America, for earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis. Well, if you're going to get ahead in Iowa, you need one of those folks. That's why the Ron Paul campaign and Ron Paul himself done hired him up a feller by the name of Mike Heath. Mike Heath is the outreach coordinator for Iowa Way. Trying to get those family values voters, many of whom are gun owners, by the way, trying to get those family values voters to carcass for Ron Paul. Mike Heath comes with some serious right-wing religion industry lunatic cred. Mike Heath's former job was with the Maine Family Policy Council. You know what they're about. Homosexuals are destroying my marriage! He was also with the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi. Stan. Now listen very carefully, Ron Paul people. Because I want this to sink in all the way to your toenails. This guy works for Ron Paul. Ron Paul therefore endorses what this guy thinks. And what this guy, Mike Heath, thinks as he's outreaching in the churches of Iowa Way is that homosexuals are responsible for endless rain and gloom. No, really. Here's the quote. Our leaders allowed a cloud of error to hide the light of reason, and then the rain began. Our crops are faring like our moods. The potato crop is blighted, and corn and fruit fields wither. Because of the homosexuals. I'm just glad to be on the gay folks' side because I don't ever want any of that crap unleashed on me. I don't, trust me, you know, dodgy roof, crummy floors, bad plumbing, sabotaged automobiles. I don't need any volcanoes, earthquakes, hailstones, The plagues of frogs and locusts, crop failure, or endless gloomy rain. So I'll just stay on the decent people's side, if that's okay. I hope y'all don't mind. Jesus. Crop failure? I thought that's what the locusts were for. But, you know, who the hell am I? And then this. Just a little sign of, one of those little signposts that says, "You are here, 2011. A story concerning a lady by the name of Elizabeth Alicia Greta Halfmoon of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Elizabeth Alicia Greta Halfmoon is 45 years old. And the other day, she spent about 6 hours wandering around the Wally World there in Tulsa. By the way, did you know? Probably deserves further examination and discussion. The six Walton heirs, it has been divulged, discovered. The six Walton heirs have as much money between them as the entire the six Walton heirs have between them together, pressed down and shaken together, as the good book says, more money than the entire lower 30% of people in the entire new United States of America. Amen. Praise Jeebus. Got that? The net worth of six people is greater. Let's see. Oh, dear God. Bob's ciphering on the air again. 330. Okay. Carry that. And, okay. So that's roughly funny how these numbers work out. The six Walton heirs have more money taken together than the bottom 99 million Americans. And they're just heirs, okay? Understand that. They're just heirs. They're kind of like that Bible verse. They neither tarry nor do they sow. They just happen to pop out of the right uterus at the right time. Born on third, thinking they hit a triple. They're just heirs. They haven't contributed anything to society. They haven't done any great thing. They haven't discovered a cure for cancer or AIDS. They haven't developed cold fusion in a mason jar. They're just heirs. Just standing around with money. I'll make it rain up in here. They're just standing around with the money raining on them. And they are worth more money than 99 million Americans. Got that? So we go back to Elizabeth Alicia Greta Halfmoon, 45 years old, 6 hours worth of shopping inside the fabulous Wally World Supercenter of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you for the story, Marty. Elizabeth Alicia Greta Halfmoon was broke. Oh, Bob, is this going to be one of those heartbreaking stories where she gets busted for shoplifting, trying to steal a loaf of bread so she can go home and feed her little ones? No. 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 Don't worry about that. We're not going to be crying yet. Too early for Friday on the front porch crying if the gun story didn't do it for you. No, Elizabeth Alicia Greta Halfmoon, aged 45, in the fabulous Wally World Supercenter of Tulsa, Oklahoma, spent 6 hours gathering up chemicals in said Wally World Supercenter of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and proceeded to carry them into the back of the store? Wow. where police allege she tried to set up a meth lab.
Don't!
That's what, you know, that's what meth does to your mind. It lets your brain think good ideas. It lets your brain think things that are not good ideas actually are. Hey, I can't afford any meth and I don't have any meth. Why don't I go to Wally World and steal all the stuff to make the meth and make it there in the employee lounge? Bad for your brain. Bad meth. Bad. But that's... You Are Here, 2011. One officer was taken to a local hospital for burns after the chemical she was mixing ate through his gloves. She was in the process of trying to manufacture meth, they claim. She had mixed up some starting fluid and what? Sulfuric acid. They sell sulfuric acid at the Wally World? And she was mixing a batch of sulfuric acid and starting fluid, which I think is ether, isn't it? In a bottle. And the stuff ate through the fireman's gloves, and he had to go to the hospital. Jesus. Apparently, she has a history of being busted for the attempted manufacture of methamphetamine. Tulsa, Oklahoma, by the way, and Oklahoma being a family value state that's tough on crime. Oklahoma Stan, I guess we could probably call it. Has been the site of 1,700 meth lab busts. Not in the state. In Tulsa. Between 2002 and 2011. Between 2002 and 2005, about 3.7% of young adults in Oklahoma self-reported using meth, according to a national survey on drug use and health. Could we maybe have a greater discussion over why that is? Could we maybe have a discussion about the effects of poverty and hopelessness on the poor and undereducated? Oh, I know that's entirely too squishy for family values, personal responsibility, right-wing Americans, but it's just us, the Horn family. You know, we're all liberal and icky like that. Could we ever... Really, what happens? You know, we got terrible drug problems in Appalachia because we have children growing up in situations and circumstances that are absolutely and utterly hopeless. From the moment they cry their first at birth, they begin ingesting poisons, industrial toxins, unleashed into the atmosphere, into the water, into the very essence of their world. Because certain coal executives haven't figured out yet that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses. And upon growing up, it doesn't take very long for little Timmy, little Johnny, and little Susie, and little Cindy to figure out that there ain't just a hell of a lot of future for them here in Appalachia, or for that matter, in Oklahoma Stan. Because that middle-class world that maybe Grandma talks about, or Great-Grandma, that's gone, baby, that's gone, sunshine, gone. And you know where it disappeared to? It disappeared into the wallets and the accounts and the structured finances and tax avoidance programs of six people who were standing around when the money landed on them. The Walton heirs. Richer than 99 million Americans. Well, by God, I think Bob's going to start talking about communism in a minute. Oh, hell no, I'm not. Yeah, Texas Betsy, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I'm sure they ingest the poison before they're even born. It's okay to poison the fetuses in Appalachia. As long as nobody sees them doing it. Well, or as long as we can say that it's economically necessary and coal keeps the lights on. You know, for a time yesterday, I was worried that we wouldn't have a show last night because our local power utility couldn't keep the lights on when I went. A coal-fired electrical power company provider, and they talk, coals are our national number one national security energy supplier. But they couldn't keep the lights on one day after a wet snow that dropped an inch of blop on the neighborhood. The power came back. Jeebus. Are you trying to channel John Cleese reading news from Monty Python's flight? No, not overtly, but you know what? After a while, the stuff just begins to rub off. Robert Phase 5 from the chat room says, time to throw a virgin in the volcano. About the size of it. So that's where we find ourselves as we begin this evening's Friday on the Front Porch filibobster. I've had my say. Why don't you guys have yours now? You know the number, right? 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, if you'd like to save us a little bit of money, you can dial directly at 304-658-3333. And that way we don't rack up toll-free charges. But if that's the only way you can call in is to use the toll-free number, do so. Don't let it stop you. Okay? Okay. So here's how it works. Everybody line up the calls and stay on the line. Everybody's phone call will be taken. But I suggest you light them up now so that you're not trying to get on the air ringing in at 5 minutes until 9 Eastern time, okay? Cool. So we'll take a little break and come back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. And I can report that ain't nothing rolled in the last hour, but, well, thank you for those of you who do support us. It is much needed and much appreciated. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is, in fact, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your calls are next. On The Horn.
I left Oklahoma driving in a Pontiac, just about to lose my mind. I was going to Arizona, maybe on to California, where the people all live so fine. My baby said I was crazy, my mama called me lazy, I was gonna show them all this time. Cause you know I ain't no foolin', I don't need no more schooling. I was born to just walk the line. Living on Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa time. Well, you know I've been through it when I set my watch back to it. Living on Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa time.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius. We got your soap right here.
And got your body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeedy, 4 minutes past the hour here, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock here on the East Coast. Hope you're enjoying the podcast if you're listening later. We've got a nice crop of blinking lights here that I... that we will move through the course of this Friday on the front porch. Email coming in from a couple of folks. Bill says, 38 special. You mean my 2-inch 38 won't stop an A1 Abrams tank? Sorry. Them slugs gonna bounce right off, Bill. What you want is a rocket launcher or a Panzerfaust. Sadly, at least according to the NRA, sadly, Americans can't own those. Or can they? I don't know. How successful has the NRA been? Bill continues, air's hell. My second wife took my money and gave me the air. Clayton says, Virgin Volcano. Been looking for one of those for 60 years. No luck yet. Good luck with that. David in Tennessee noting for those of a research bent, if anybody wants to understand Tulsa and speed and its relationship with it, find a copy of Larry Clark's Tulsa. That's just the name of the book, Tulsa. It is the second most important book of photography that I know about, and not for the faint of heart. The foreword, written by Larry Clark, reads, "Once the needle goes in, it never comes out." Jan says, I don't agree with your ideas on guns, but I do agree with your right to feel that way. I appreciate that, Jan. I really, really do. Sincerely. This came in from Jerry earlier today. He said, after your comments about the letter W, I thought about the Braille system. Remember where I was talking about the W burger over to the Wendy's? Thing still gives me the fan tods just thinking about it. Now, Jerry says, after your comments about the letter W, I thought about the Braille system. Louis Braille invented his alphabet in France. The French alphabet has no letter W at all. So the letter W in English Braille is literally an artificial invention. It was inserted into the French Braille system to accommodate the English language. Its presence literally disrupts the normal sequence of patterns of dots. Who else inserts himself into a well-running system and then disrupts its normal patterns and sequences, huh? Jerry notes, I transcribed Braille for 5 years for public building use. It had to be accurate. I hope you find this to be as ironic as do I. I absolutely do. I get it. That's exactly what happened in 2000, in the year 2000, when a gang of five, including an alleged moderate by the name of Sandra Day O'Connor, who should go down in infamy for foisting George Bush upon us. It would have been so easy to do the right thing for her, but she didn't. She played politics instead. That gang of five thrust the W into what was at that moment a well-running system, and as Jerry notes, damned well disrupted its normal patterns and sequences. Hear, hear. So, with that having been said, to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
You did mention the five-minute caller, but you didn't mention the two-minute caller. Two-minute caller, you are on notice. You can't call within 2 minutes of the program.
Okay. Thank you, David. I appreciate that.
Well, we need that cleared up.
It did, and I'm glad you did. I mean, that's one of those valuable services you provide as pop culture correspondent for the Horn.
Right.
Got to keep folks in line.
You know, when you were talking about the Muppets, that made me think of, I want to send a dupe email to Eric Bolling and make him aware of Mongrels.
Oh, dear God. And I watched some, and everything you said was true.
Wait till you, I mean, I just saw.
I got done with what I watched, and I was not a well man, and happily so.
Wait till you see one where Nelson tries to teach the lower class how to be middle class because Vince has them locked up in the bottom of the ground. So he brings them out and he brings them children's books. And he says, he said, wait a minute, you freed us from Vince? And he goes, well, that's cool. We can pick up these books now. And he tries to make them refine, and then Vince comes back and, oh man, I mean the way
that's beautiful.
Everything is just beautiful.
I can't. Well, I'll go looking for that tonight.
I mean, and then there's so many musical cues that you could play for the Horn. There's the Everybody Loves a Lesbian song, which is just brilliant. Regarding the theme of lesbianism and all of that. But yeah, for people who haven't seen it, it's the show we're talking about. If you weren't listening last night. It's called Mongrels. It's a traditional-type puppet show with off-the-cuff zany humor and very, very, very edgy scenarios. Like,
not a children's puppet show.
No, definitely not. I mean,
this ain't Kupla, Fran, and Ollie.
I was just, you know, my mouth was open when they have a show on cat pedophilia, and I was like, oh my god. This would not fly over here. This would not fly over here.
Yeah, not even after the Squidbillies like we were talking about.
No. I mean, to talk about the censorship that we deal in this country, you know, what was it? You cannot watch the episode of The Boondocks with Tyler Perry. They pulled it out of syndication. So, you know, semi-fascism or transparent fascism is alive and well over here.
Ain't that the truth?
And, I mean, you look at what's happening in this country, and my feelings are guns on this, when you were talking about guns earlier in the Virginia Tech. I think that for myself, I don't need a gun, but if it is absolutely necessary, and for others, I don't see how if you were in a situation where you just wanted to scare someone off, why you wouldn't just use blanks instead? That's my personal opinion.
Well, because then if you have to shoot one, they find out it's blanks, they kill you for using the blanks and scaring the shit out of them.
Well, that's true. But what I'm saying is in situations where you know you're not in that type of area where someone isn't going to quote unquote shoot you, if it's just to scare someone.
Yeah. No.
You got to go to.
Well, look. I mean, if you're trying to deter people, just putting that little sign on the front door that says "This house protected by Smith and Wesson."
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do one of two things. That's either going to encourage somebody to break in your home because they can steal your guns and sell them, and you'd be surprised the number of homes that get broken into to steal the guns because they're
right. They
have. Firearms in this country have a liquidity that diamonds don't have, because people just go crazy. Really? That's a hell of a good bargain on that .30-06 there, Clem. Well, I'm selling it because I need the money.
Yeah, it's a tough issue.
You can hang that sign out there. That'll deter the people that really want to come in and do in the family, right?
Right.
But. Well, and then, you know, if your guns get stolen from you, then, you know, you file the insurance claim and none the wiser. I mean, the number of situations where somebody is where you're actually going to have a shootout at the OK Corral in your living room, there's just not a lot of them. And look at what happens. One story comes to mind. I don't know if Sandra's listening tonight, but I know her mind has already gone there. Look what happens when you take it to, I'm going to defend my home. You remember the story of the 90-year-old granny in Atlanta and the no-knock warrant where the cops came blazing through the door and, you know, they didn't say, hello, it's the police or anything. They just rammed out, and so granny started shooting, and I mean, they cut her in half, didn't they? Just shot her to pieces. So there's your home defense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I just think that in certain areas, you can't avoid it. Now, I don't know. Like I said, I think that there needs to be a clear indication of when we have gun violence like this, and severe penalties, punishments, fines, everything. It needs to be. That needs to happen, and if it doesn't happen, well, then it's just going to keep happening and happening. It's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, yeah, and look, I mean, if you're one of those folks who, you know, drives around with a Smith & Wesson bumper sticker on his pickup truck and so forth like that and such like, and, you know, the IRAC, God, I feel like Miss South Carolina. If you do that, then guess what? One of the first things when the cops have to come to your house, they ask around, hey, is this guy got a lot of guns? Good. Okay, we'll bring the whole SWAT team.
Right.
And you haven't even drawn a gun, and you've automatically escalated the situation. Whereas, no, okay, well, come peaceably. Okay, don't shoot. It's like what you do when you get pulled over on the highway, whether you're speeding or not. There are some things you do. Rule one is both hands on the steering wheel. Rule two is license and insurance and registration sitting on the dashboard so that you're not reaching down or over or anything that's going to make Officer Friendly decide to make you pine for the fjords. There's just ways that you deal with it that don't involve shooting back.
And there's definitely too much money to be involved in this whole business of everything gun related. It's gotten so out of control. I understand a lot of communities the same way with college football are probably funded completely by the sales of guns, ammo, and all paraphernalia included.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how easy we just let conservatives into our pop culture. I don't know if you know this, but this is going to make a lot of Simpsons fans mad, but guess who's going to be a guest on The Simpsons for a whole episode?
Ted Nugent?
Right.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. And it's, you know, it's a, like a bizarre plot, too, because it makes me think, mm-hmm. like, for the future, Ted Nugent's going to run for president.
At this, well, I mean, I snorted initially, but at this point, I don't put it beyond the. I figure he moves up to president of the NRA at some point.
Well, I mean, it's funny how somebody like that can get so easily into a TV show with their background, and you look at some of his readings.
Well, somewhere along the way, probably somebody at Radio Rwanda said to Matt Groening and that bunch. Ah, listen, you know, you had a bunch of your liberals there on the on your little cartoon show. Isn't it time we had some fairness and balance? Can't you find no conservatives to be on the program? How about Ted Nugent? I talked to him the other day, and he said he'd love to be on your little cartoon show. Maybe he can kill Itchy or Scratchy or both of them or something.
I would like to believe that, but I think he suffers from the same thing that Seth MacFarlane suffers from, which is, When he had Rush Limbaugh on the show, it's just that he thinks that because they're entertainers, that they're quote-unquote